today as we come to the table.
Nobody enjoys persecution, but as I've said many times before, I believe that when persecution comes, and I believe it is coming to America, and depends on, again, a lot of things that happen and how quickly persecution comes to America and to what level and to what degree, God's going to give the grace for that. If that happens, God will give the grace. You know, we live in a very privileged era. We live in a very privileged time. I was talking with someone just the last couple of days. If you look at most of world history and you plopped us down somewhere, just anywhere in world history, it could be really, really bad. And really, really bad for the church. And suddenly we're landed in this nation that has been so blessed and it's been so protected and all these things, and we've come to just enjoy it and live this way. Well, it's fading.
What's happening right now in society and just our world as a whole is happening for a reason. We know God has a perfect plan and we know God has perfect timing. So all we need to do is trust God and listen to Him. He has a plan for what we need to be doing as our lives continue to move in these crazy ways. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to trust God's plan for your life and to trust that the direction society is taking is purposeful. Even if you don't understand or want to accept what's going on, believe and accept that God has a bigger plan that you just can't see yet. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 as we start a new book getting into 2 Thessalonians. And we finished, as you guys know, 1 Thessalonians, been there for a couple of months, and now we're getting just moving right on into 2 Thessalonians. And really, it's a very, very appropriate book. I'd already prayed. I felt that God had put my heart to move right on through when we got here into 2 Thessalonians, even more so in what we're facing today, because as we get into this, we're going to be seeing persecution on the church and Paul addressing the persecution that was going on in the church in 2 Thessalonians and God's promise to the church there, God's ministry to them in the midst of their persecution. And I think it's very appropriate for today because much of the church around the world is already under great persecution and now it's coming to our back door as well. So we'll talk about that as we get into it. So let's pray and ask God to bless our time and His word today. So Lord, we thank You, God, for Your word, and we thank You, God, that You have put us, Lord, on the earth for such a time as this. Lord, You knew that we would be the ones You chose to be in this generation. You knew what would be happening with our nation. You knew the direction of our nation. God, You saw the persecution coming to America that is now being experienced in California, in Maine, in New Jersey, in New York, in many places. And Lord, because of that, Lord, this is the generation You put here. It's our responsibility now to take action. And so, Lord, help us to walk in that responsibility. Help us to take action and to be a part and to do, God, what You've called us to do. And I pray that as we look at Your word this morning and Your encouragement to the Thessalonians about their persecution and Your promise in the midst of it, Lord, let us hear that promise for us. Lord, encourage us. Encourage the Church of California and those that right now, God, are being so turned against truly by the demonic forces and demonic powers that are opposing You as they oppose Your church. So, Lord, we ask You, open Your word to us now and look forward to what You're going to show us. God, I ask You, bless our journey through the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we get into 2 Thessalonians, we're looking really at encouragement and persecution. And honestly, as I said, when I started thinking about and praying about getting into Thessalonians, I wasn't thinking about where we would be as a nation so much. God's in control of all that. God knows all things. And right now in the South, we don't feel the persecution that much. But this is a timely message. It's very timely because it's coming our way. And there's, again, the bottom line is, as you guys know in California, we've been talking about the churches. Not only are they trying to shut the churches down and allowing everything else to happen. I mean, you can do pretty much anything you want as far as protesting or rioting or whatever else you want to do in California. But God forbid you go to church. And so the churches are facing great persecution, and many of the churches are standing up and they're going to church anywhere. They're doing this and they're being greatly persecuted because of it. But the exciting thing about it is God is also doing a great work, and I think even a work of revival in the church in California that I hope, even as I dread any persecution coming this way, our direction, I think that also what I'd love to see is the fire of revival come our direction as well. And I know there are some churches out there that are experiencing some great moves of the Spirit. God's doing a great thing. I think something may be legitimate going on. I don't know if it's going to spread nationwide. I don't know how far it's going to go. But I see some things that to me are very encouraging that are happening in California. And the sad thing about persecution is that it brings pressure on the church. The good thing about persecution is it often brings revival. And so as much as I hate persecution, if it takes persecution to wake up the church in America, then so be it. We've got to wake up. And we as a nation need to wake up before it's too late, because again, we could lose our ability to be the nation that God has given us. You look at the nation of Israel, the reason they're in the situation they're in is because they rejected God, because they rejected their Messiah. If Israel had stayed faithful to God, you wouldn't be reading about the persecution so much here in 2 Thessalonians, but about the nation of Israel being a powerful worldwide influence for Christ. But they rejected. And so God again brought the judgment in on the nation of Israel. And because they turned away from their Messiah, they had another government that was ruling rather than God ruling over them. Now the Roman government was ruling over them. And my concern is that if we don't take action now, while God has given us the opportunity to take action, then the bottom line is we're going to be ruled by, if you will, a Roman government as well. And we do know that there's going to be the revived Roman Empire in the last days. We know they're headed that direction. But my heart is, let's fight in worship and in prayer and the things of the Lord until that happens. You know, we don't just lay down and give up. And so we need to be active in seeking God and saying, God, have mercy on us. And God, give us the righteous leaders that we need. And it's interesting, I was just being reminded of another prisoner that was many years in prison in Russia, sharing about the fact he's now an American. He said, you know what scares me about what I see happening in America right now is, he said, this is the same pattern Russia was in right before the church started going to jail. He said, the church didn't rise up and do anything about it. They just kind of let it go thinking, don't worry, no big problem. And then the people in the church started ending up in prison like he did. He said, America, you better start acting right now, because if you don't take action now and your government gets completely turned over to the godless, then you're going to be the next target. It won't be political issues. It won't be who you want in office. It won't be some political agenda. Listen, the enemy's coming after the church. That's the ultimate goal. And of course, we know that's what it's going to be in the very last days, but we don't just lay down and give up until that happens. So we need to take action. Now, some background for this letter. I'm not going to go into a lot of background, only because, again, I know that we already covered this in 1 Thessalonians. You guys are aware of it. But this letter, the 2 Thessalonian letter, came very quickly after the first letter, sometime around 52 or 53 AD. And the reason Paul wrote this letter was, after his first letter, they had a lot of questions. Things were happening. I mean, they already had persecution when they wrote the first letter. Now they're having more persecution. And so you're thinking, you know, Paul O'Dowd is thinking, okay, this is a young church. They're not real strong. Now they're getting more persecution. The good thing is, because of the persecution, they were responding the right way. And there's two ways you can respond in persecution. You can either be driven away from God or you can be driven to God. And I'm afraid that when we enter into this time of persecution in our nation, you're going to see a lot of people driven away from God because they don't want to face the consequences. But the good news is a lot of the church is going to be driven to God, and we're going to get stronger. It's going to be a purifying factor. And my prayer is that we are not those that shrink away. We're not those that are going to pull away when times get tough. You know, let me ask you this. If they were to pass some law tomorrow, or if they were to put pressure on us here like they're doing in California, if you go to church, you may go to jail. How many of you would stay home? And it would be easy to justify, wouldn't it? Well, you know what? There is the virus, and we can watch it online and all that. Look, if you've got issues, and we've talked about this, there's this balance. If you've got some kind of physical thing that can put you in danger, you don't need to be putting yourself in danger. But if you're healthy and you're strong, then I believe you need to be seeking the Lord. And so God leads each person, and that's why you see kind of this whole division of all. I think there's a balance between both sides, if you will, on that. But the bottom line is not so much even deciding on physical issues. The question is, what if you know there's going to be a consequence? What if there's going to be a severe consequence? What if it's going to actually be something like you may do some prison time? Or it may cost you financially. How many of us would still be here on Sunday morning? And that may not be a bad thing to contemplate in your heart right now. What is our real motivation? What is our real driving force? Well, Paul was talking to the Thessalonians saying, you guys have proven your real driving force is that you love Jesus. And come on, May, here we go. Here we go. Nobody enjoys persecution, but as I've said many times before, I believe that when persecution comes, and I believe it is coming to America, and depends on, again, a lot of things that happen and how quickly persecution comes to America and to what level and to what degree, God's going to give the grace for that. If that happens, God will give the grace. You know, we live in a very privileged era. We live in a very privileged time. I was talking with someone just the last couple of days. If you look at most of world history and you plopped us down somewhere, just anywhere in world history, it could be really, really bad. And really, really bad for the church. And suddenly we're landed in this nation that has been so blessed and it's been so protected and all these things. And we've come to just enjoy it and live this way. Well, it's fading. It's fading very quickly. The edges have not just become black, it's moving in. And so this is why, again, we have to be prepared. And I'm not saying it's all doom and gloom, that this is all it for us, whatever. I think, again, a lot of it has to do with how we respond as a church. God can send revival, and revivals can revive nations. There's great hope if America responds the right way, if the church responds the right way. But if we don't, we better be prepared, because persecution's coming down the, you know, our road as well. It's not just California. We're blessed with a governor that knows the Lord. And as God is using to protect us as a state and all, but you've already seen how just even how things are happening. People are now taking power that's not really theirs. Committees making decisions they have no power to do. The Bible says in the last days, lawlessness will abound. We're just now heading in. We're just now getting the headwinds of it. Imagine when it really kicks in. And so we need to be prepared. And Paul knew that these guys were in the midst of it. They were already having the persecution. And so Paul wanted to encourage them. And what Paul is going to do today, and what we're going to see that he does, is Paul begins to give them an eternal perspective, saying, you know what? Look, you've got to have your eyes on the eternal perspective. You may face persecution, but you have joy waiting. And by the way, not only that, God's going to judge those that are persecuting you. And yes, we're going to get into a little bit of the discussion of God's judgment today. You know, that's a tough one, because we as believers know God's grace. We know God's mercy. We know God's forgiveness, and we preach it, and we enjoy preaching it, and we promote it, because that's the God that we love. But the reality is, God is a just God, and he also is going to deal with the unrighteous one day if they don't repent. And so Paul is not only going to talk about this, Paul's going to say, listen, church, those that are troubling you are going to one day be troubled themselves by God. And so he's going to give a balance to it. You know, we talk about, where is that balance? It's really found at the cross, and that is where justice and mercy come together beautifully. All the justice that we deserve and that the world deserves in God's judgment came upon Jesus at the cross, and then the mercy is poured out in God's grace. But for those who reject that, if you reject the payment on the cross, you don't have that mercy. And that's why it's such a fearful thing. And so that's where Paul is going to begin encouraging them and encouraging us to say, look, you're going to face persecution, you're going to face tribulation, but God's going to deal with those that trouble you. And, you know, it's almost like, you know what, you're going to do that, then you're messing with God. And so, again, it would be encouraging to know that in the midst of persecution, even though you have a heart of forgiveness and a heart of mercy, it's also good to know that God's going to defend you and that God's going to take up for you. So that's where Paul's going to be sharing with the Thessalonians and us as well today. Let's get into it. Chapter 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Paul starts it the same way. There's not a lot of intro that's needed here beyond this, because he really says almost the exact same introduction, maybe even the exact same introduction as he did in the first part of Thessalonians. He says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, that was Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul giving the same greeting from everyone. Hey, Silas says hello. Timothy says hello. They were all involved in the church there. He wanted them to know they loved them. They were caring for them. They're praying for them. They're sending their greetings just like we do today when someone goes somewhere. We say, tell them that we love them. Tell them hello for us, this kind of thing. And of course, as Paul does in most of his letters, grace and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, because again, there's that grace of God that's poured out. And then after the grace of God is poured out through Jesus and what he's done on the cross, his peace, that connection to God, that forgiveness. And so he starts out that way, and he jumps right in verse 3, and he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. Now, I love this. Notice what he's talking about them. He says, you guys, your grace is growing exceedingly. Everything about your love for God and your love for each other is abounding. And he says, because of that, we're bound to give thanks for you. Again, it's interesting. The word bound here, it means, speaks of an obligation. It's as though Paul is saying, you know what, we're not only thankful for you guys that are, you're doing well there in Thessalonica, but we're obligated to God to thank God. God, thank you for the work you're doing in Thessalonica. Thank you that they're a young church, but they're growing in the midst of persecution. They're not getting weaker. They're not turning away. They're getting stronger. And they're drawing closer to you, God. He says, we're bound to give thanks. And you know, I think this is fitting because again, as I see you guys growing in the Lord, I'm bound to give thanks for you. And to watch God grow you, and to watch what God is doing in your lives and in the fellowship. And we should be giving thanks for each other. Listen, we're going to need each other more and more as the days move forward. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're believers. I'm thankful that I'm not alone in this. Now, I know that I wouldn't be alone if I was the only one that was saved. I know that God would be there for me. If you were the only one that was saved, God would be there for you. But we have each other. And we strengthen each other, and we encourage each other. And so we need to be thankful for that. We need to be praying for each other through the midst of these crazy times, encouraging each other in the midst of the persecution. And again, the sense of obligation here even to do that, I think, is it's just showing Paul's heart. He understands before God that it's a gift of God. The church of Thessalonica was a gift from God to Paul. He says, you guys are a gift to me. I'm thankful for you. Well, you guys are a gift to me. We're a gift to each other because it's God's family and God's church. And so why was he thankful? Again, Paul says it's fitting that he was obligated to give thanks for two reasons. Okay, two reasons that it's fitting. Notice, first of all, he says it is fitting because their faith grows exceedingly. You know, watching faith grow, it's a beautiful thing. Seeing believers grow, we should be thankful for that. How we need to see more and more growth. You know, it's sad to me when I read all these statistics and, you know, these pastors, they send these pastors these statistics out. Some of these things I mention sometimes on the radio show. You know, Friday we do the signs of the times, 1:30 to 2:30 every Friday. We do a live update of what's going on in the world from a prophetic perspective. If you don't listen to that, I encourage you. It's 101.1. You can do it online. You can do it whatever. But we talk about these statistics, and some of them we were covering recently really brings this to light, and that is how many people that really don't even know the Bible anymore. It's amazing to me. America has become really illiterate in the Bible when Americans used to be the most Bible-literate nation on the planet. And now we don't even understand the Bible. And so because of that, it's having a great impact on us, and we're not seeing the church grow like it should. So to see people that are learning the Word of God, growing in the Word of God, that's exciting to me. And Paul says the same thing here for them. It's exciting to see that you're growing. That's the first reason it's fitting that I give thanks. And secondly, because their love was not only growing, but it was growing exceedingly for each other. Guys, how we need to grow in love for each other. We need each other, and we need to love each other. And I believe that as we see more and more persecution in America, and maybe we won't see as much. Maybe it depends on what happens in the upcoming elections and God holding off kind of this wave of persecution that's already started on our nation around the edges and moving in. Maybe God will give us that reprieve, and that's what we're praying for, and that's what we're hoping for. But again, if persecution does come to the South in greater measure, I think you're going to see us loving each other more because we're going to need each other. And we're going to need to be standing together and encouraging each other. There's nothing like hard times to make you go together. This is one of the things that is true about the military. You see these guys, even I'm not even talking believers, just men that don't even know God. They go to the military together. They have war together. And when they come back, they have a bond that's unbreakable. It's a lifelong connection. It's a lifelong bond of love that they have and brotherhood. And that's what you find. You think, man, how do these guys have such a brotherhood? How do they have such a bond? Because when you're fighting for your life together, it does something in the deepest part of your person. And if the church has to begin fighting together to encourage each other, to be a witness, to survive, if they start doing things here like they're doing out west, if they really start throwing pastors in jail like they're already threatening to in California, if it moves this way, it's not going to stop at the pastor. Listen, you guys are going to have a small break. If they come after me and I do something and say, Mark, you know what? You can't preach that anymore. You guys can't meet anymore. You can't do this anymore. You do that, you're going to jail. I guess I'm going to jail. And I'm okay with that. I've been there before. I'm not proud of that. But the bottom line is that, you know what? If that's what God calls, then okay, God will give the grace for that. And I'm not trying to sound like Mr. Bold up here. I'd be like you guys as well. I wouldn't look forward to that. Would I have fear? Probably. Would that be fun? No. But many that have gone before us have faced much worse. But here's my point. If they come after me, you're next. You think, oh, that's just the pastors. We got to, no. Because this is a spiritual battle. You want to take out the leaders first, but then it's everybody else. So don't think that you're going to avoid the persecution if it comes on the pastors. And we, and the church can't think that if they're getting persecuted out west, it's not going to come here. So we better take action while we can. And then we better be praying and asking God to do a work. And so what Paul is saying here is, look, I know that you guys are going through this, but what it's producing and what it will produce if we go through that, God forbid, but if it does, the good part of it, it produces greater love and growing in faith and growing in love for each other. He says, I know you guys are experiencing that. He says, that's a wonderful thing. We see that. We recognize it. Verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which you endure. In other words, we're bragging about you to all the other churches because we see how strong your faith is growing as you're being persecuted. You know, it's like they're pointing to him saying, look, you guys over here in Colossians, you guys over here, look what they're doing to them in Thessalonica. Look at these guys. They're not falling away from the Lord. They're not running. They're getting stronger. Be encouraged. Be like them. Trust God. Press in. And so it's a beautiful testimony. He says, we're able to see that in you guys. And that testimony, so good, we're bragging about you to others, even though you're a baby fellowship. And we're noticing what they bragged about, their patience and their faith. And it was their patience and their faith in their persecutions and their tribulations that they were enduring. Now, anybody can walk with God when things are easy, right? But what about when things are hard? That's when it's going to be, that's when the real trial comes. And the church in Thessalonica, again, was facing this persecution, these troubles from the people of the region. They were not only enduring it, but they had a strong testimony as they exhibited great patience and faith, which was evidence that God's Spirit was working in them. And so now you see the reason he was able to boast about them, because again, persecution does one or two things. As we said, it drives you to God or it drives you away. And so what's it going to do for us? Is it going to drive us to the Lord? Or drive us away? Again, we may not have to find out. In California, they're already having to find out. And the exciting thing is you're seeing a large portion of the church respond very wonderfully. The churches that are open are packed. And they're making a stand. And they don't care. And so, again, you know, you're going to see, I think, this division. You know, I think God has brought us as a nation, I believe, not only to a great dividing line politically. And there is a political avenue and level to the church that we have to be involved in, although we're not a political organization. The nation is being brought to a dividing line. The lines couldn't be clearer anymore. It used to be that people kind of in the church could blend back and forth, who you with, who whatever. It's becoming now that pretty much there's only one real direction you can go and follow the leading of God. And it's going to cause a division in the church because decisions are going to have to be made that override politics. And I think decisions are going to have to be made to say, you know what? I can't stand with the group I used to stand with anymore because everything they stand for is anti-God. And we're going to have to make a decision, guys. It's going to divide the church. It's going to. I don't know how much, and I hope it's not a huge thing. But I think that God's allowing it because I think God is saying to the church, you can't just blend in anymore. It's not just politics as usual.
Thanks for joining us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching through the second letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. As you might know, Paul had visited this area just briefly in the past. And in 2 Thessalonians, he wrote to the followers of Jesus who lived there. This book is primarily touching on the topics of the end times. Surely in those days and also now, people are curious and unsure how it will all play out in the end times. But Paul wrote this book to reassure believers about Christ's return, and that even though there will be some suffering that occurs on this earth, there will be an end to all of that at some point. We trust what you've heard here today will help you keep moving forward, not living in a state of fear, but having the confidence that God is in control. If you have any questions about what you've heard today, you can give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to speak with you and try to answer any questions you might have. Once more, that phone number is 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Feel free to visit our website for service times, thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to listen again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share with us regarding this New Testament book of the Bible. So come again to hear more from Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.